Chapter 10. Neolithic Man in Europe. First, the Age of Cultivation begins. Second, where did the Neolithic culture arise? Third, everyday Neolithic life. Fourth, primitive trade. Fifth, the flooding of the Mediterranean Valley. First, the Neolithic phase of human affairs began in Europe about 10,000 or 12,000 years ago, but probably men had reached the Neolithic stage elsewhere some thousands of years earlier. Neolithic men came slowly into Europe from the south or southeast, as the reindeer and the open steppes gave way to forest and modern European conditions. The Neolithic stage in culture is characterized by, first, the presence of polished stone implements, and in particular the stone axe, which was perforated so as to be the more effectually fastened to a wooden handle, and which was probably used rather for working wood than in conflict. There are also abundant arrowheads. The fact that some implements are polished doesn't preclude the presence of great quantities of implements of unpolished stone. But there are differences in the make between even the unpolished tools of the Neolithic and of the Paleolithic period. Second, the beginning of a sort of agriculture and the use of plants and seeds. But at first there are abundant evidences that hunting was still of great importance in the Neolithic age. Neolithic man didn't at first sit down to his agriculture, he took snatch crops. He settled later. Third, pottery and proper cooking. The horse is no longer eaten. Fourth, domesticated animals. The dog appears very early. The Neolithic man had domesticated cattle, sheep, goats, and pigs. He was a huntsman turned herdsman of the herds he once hunted. Fifth, plaiting and weaving. These Neolithic people probably migrated into Europe in the same way that the reindeer men had migrated before them, that's to say generation by generation and century by century. As the climate changed, they spread after their accustomed food. They weren't nomads. Nomadism, like civilization, had still to be developed. At present, we are quite unable to estimate how far the Neolithic peoples were newcomers and how far their arts were developed or acquired by the descendants of some of the hunters and fishers of the later Paleolithic age. Whatever our conclusions in that matter, this much we may say with certainty, there is no great break, no further sweeping away of one kind of man and replacement by another kind between the appearance of the Neolithic way of living and our own time. There are invasions, conquests, extensive emigrations and intermixtures, but the races, as a whole, carry on and continue to adapt themselves to the areas into which they began to settle in the opening of the Neolithic age. The Neolithic men of Europe were white men ancestral to the modern Europeans. They may have been of a darker complexion than many of their descendants, of that we can't speak with certainty, but there's no real break in culture from their time onward until we reach the age of coal, steam, and power-driven machinery that began in the 18th century. After a long time, gold, the first known of the metals, appears among the bone ornaments with jet and amber. Irish Neolithic remains are particularly rich in gold. Then perhaps 6,000 or 7,000 years ago in Europe, Neolithic people began to use copper in certain centers, making out of it implements of much the same pattern as their stone ones. They cast the copper in molds made to the shape of the stone implements. Possibly they first found native copper and hammered it into shape. Later, we won't venture upon figures, men had found out how to get copper from its ore. Perhaps, as Lord Avebury suggested, they discovered the secret of smelting by the chance putting of lumps of copper ore among the ordinary stones with which they built the fire pits they used for cooking. In China, Hungary, Cornwall, and elsewhere, copper ore and tin stone occur in the same veins. It's a very common association. And so, rather through dirtiness than skill, the ancient smelters, it may be, hit upon the harder and better bronze, which is an alloy of copper and tin. Bronze isn't only harder than copper, but the mixture of tin and copper is more fusible and easier to reduce. The so-called pure copper implements usually contain a small proportion of tin, and there are no tin implements known, nor very much evidence to show that early men knew of tin as a separate metal. The plant of a prehistoric copper smelter has been found in Spain, and the material of bronze foundries in various localities. The method of smelting revealed by these finds carries out Lord Avebury's suggestion. In India, where zinc and copper ore occur together, brass, which is an alloy of the two metals, was similarly hit upon. So slight was the change in fashions and methods produced by the appearance of bronze that for a long time such bronze axes and so forth as were made were cast in moulds to the shape of the stone implements they were superseding. Finally, perhaps as early as 3,000 years ago in Europe, and even earlier in Asia Minor, men began to smelt iron. Once smelting was known to men, there's no great marvel in the finding of iron. They smelted iron by blowing up a charcoal fire and wrought it by heating and hammering. They produced it, at first, in comparatively small pieces. Its appearance worked a gradual revolution in weapons and implements, but it didn't suffice to change the general character of men's surroundings. Much the same daily life that was being led by the more settled Neolithic men 10,000 years ago was being led by peasants in the out-of-the-way places all over Europe at the beginning of the 18th century. People talk of the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age in Europe, but it's misleading to put these ages as if they were of equal importance in history. Much truer is it to say that there was, first, an early Paleolithic Age of vast duration, second, a later Paleolithic Age that lasted not a tithe of the time, and third, the Age of Cultivation, the Age of the White Men in Europe, which began 10,000 or at most 12,000 years ago, of which the Neolithic period was the beginning and which is still going on. Second, we don't know yet the region in which the ancestors of the brownish Neolithic peoples worked their way up from the Paleolithic stage of human development. Probably it was somewhere about southwestern Asia, or in some region now submerged beneath the Mediterranean Sea or the Indian Ocean. That while the Neanderthal men still lived their hard lives in the bleak climate of a glaciated Europe, the ancestors of the white men developed the rude arts of their later Paleolithic period, but they don't seem to have developed the artistic skill of their more northerly kindred, the European later Paleolithic races. And though the 100 centuries or so while reindeer men were living under comparatively unprogressive conditions upon the steppes of France, Germany, and Spain, these more favored and progressive people to the south were mastering agriculture, learning to develop their appliances, taming the dog, domesticating cattle, and as the climate to the north mitigated and the equatorial climate grew more tropical, spreading northward. All these early chapters of our story have yet to be disinterred. They'll probably be found in Asia Minor, Persia, Arabia, India, or North Africa, or they lie beneath the Mediterranean waters. 12,000 years ago, or thereabouts, we're still too early for anything but the roughest chronology, Neolithic peoples were scattered all over Europe, North Africa, and Asia. They were peoples at about the level of many of the Polynesian islanders of the last century, and they were the most advanced peoples in the world. Third, it'll be of interest here to give a brief account of the life of the European Neolithic people before the appearance of metals. We get our light upon that life from various sources they scattered their refuse about, and in some places, for example on the Danish coast, it accumulated in great heaps, known as the kitchen middens. They buried some of their people, but not the common herd, with great care and distinction, and made huge heaps of earth over their sepulchres. These heaps are the barrows, or dolmens, which contribute a feature to the European, Indian, and American scenery in many districts to this day.